Hey everyone, welcome to episode 266 of Mighty White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
All no loops or delays with the we'll name them Virgin Media completely fucking you over and you having no internet for 7 days.
It forcing me to go into my office to do my job. Bastards.
Yeah. No fun. Well, you might need a miracle for Virgin Media to be working in decent time for your shift tomorrow, but I think that we need an even bigger one. So I'm sitting here summoning the spirit of Phragma. Because let me tell you, you know, I need a miracle.
Wow.
Yeah. QPR 4 leads nil. I even went for a QPR win because I'm such a pessimist. But even on my most pessimistic day, and even with me thinking that Leeds had a bit of a problem with ability to stand up to the pressure and all of those things I have said, I didn't see 4-0 coming.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, especially for where they were in the league, you were there thinking, right, they've got themselves in front. It happens. Problem now is going to be us having to break them down because presumably they will go to a low block and protect the 1-0 lead. Nope, there was no need.
We're on top here. I said in the pub and I stand by this, I think that, and we've all seen games like this, I think they were all looking around at each other and going, these are shit, these. just keep playing.
Just keep giving it to Ilias Chair and stuff will happen.
Yeah, well, we'll start with that. I'll get this one bit out of the way before we just become annoyed fans. If you objectively watch that game, 4-0 is a bit harsh.
XG-wise, it's a 2-0 win probably would have done it.
Well, actually, the XG was 0.8 QPR to like 1.2 Leeds. Which I think is a lie.
I would say that's very generous to Leeds.
Yeah, I think that the stats are lying on that one. But, yeah, it wasn't a 4-0 game, but it doesn't fucking matter in this situation. I was fuming from that first goal onwards. They play one pass out from the back. Ilias Chair is their best player. Everyone knows this. It's not a secret. The only person that might not know is that guy whose head he smashed in with a brick because I'm not sure what his memory's like at the minute. He has 25 yards of space. Not in one direction, not just towards goal, in every direction. Runs forward, completely unchallenged. Gruev half gets out to him, cuts inside, has a shot. It's not even much of a shot. Joe Roden, because of the way the handball rule is now, does have to tuck his hands behind his back. Leans like you wouldn't believe and just it flicks into the corner of him. If he doesn't touch it, it's an easy save for Melier, which admittedly, last couple of games of form, you can't really rely on. It was such a bad start. But like, I can get past the, you know, the deflection itself is unlucky. That just happens. But to just let their best player have half the pitch to him fucking self. And we watched it back. We were like, who isn't there? And we both thought it's Nonto sprinting forward onto their centre-back. Because the centre-mids wouldn't be that high and or wide. So I'm assuming that's what lost it. But you've still got half the pitch to recover from that. And we just don't.
I would describe Gruev's attempt at sending Chair down the line as being akin to Archie Gray's attempts away at Preston.
Yeah, just he basically showed him inside, didn't he? Well, having the body shape of someone who's showing him outside.
Yeah, just like sort of well done for getting in because he's got to cover a lot of ground as Gruev.
Yeah,
but yeah, defensively he gets there, and the goggles, they do nothing.
So yeah, as you were saying, like, we went 1-0 down at Middlesbrough. You can get away with that. Pirou has a decent effort saved after this. But, like, the second goal is just, again, so shit defensively. We don't clear. A ball hits Firpo and just, like, bounces back to him. It then gets played wide. I haven't seen a single angle that showed it properly. I actually think he's probably offside, but I don't give a shit at this point. They play it back inside. And it's a... is it Lucas Anderson?
Yes.
He cuts inside onto his left foot. Somerville's in a good position to tackle and just pulls out of it because he's scared of giving away a penalty. And he's a forward. I can sort of understand that, because if he thinks he's not going to get there, that's better than giving away a penalty. And it's Gruev again, who just doesn't close the ball. He gets into sort of a position to sort of block. But you need to get tight for that to be effective, and he just doesn't. And it is a very good finish. Like, Melier doesn't have a chance on this one. And basically, it's game over at that point with the way we were playing.
It's probably a bit lower down the list of people who are culpable in this goal, but I do want a special mention for Jorginho Rutter, who, in his attempt to go out to the wide man, seemed to have diverted and made a 10-yard run up the field on the off chance we won the ball back before we'd won the ball back.
Yeah. I think that's an instruction, because they've all done that a few times this season. There was a non-tour one earlier this year where he ran 25 yards in the wrong direction. It's as if he would just go, yeah, but if it does fall to us, I'm away. And that's...
And I think, but it's in our penalty area.
But I've said, he's not the first one to have done that. And yeah, it's stupid, but I've said it so many times. I think it's after 2-0 where Nonto puts in a very good cross, Somerville volley, really good save. And that's our last really good chance until the Joseph one in the second half.
You mean? I know we're jumping the gun here. The one Joseph plays is wide.
Yeah, the one that's a goal kick. Yeah. That's what cost us, really. At halftime, that was about as disheartened as I've been in a long time. Maybe since Derby.
I think it's been a fair while since we've used this line, but it was very much the... we've done nothing and we're all out of ideas, man.
Yeah.
We weren't even really trying to go through Somerville that much. We didn't even seem to have that as to give it him on the left and just hope he cuts inside and does something.
Well, that was the thing with it. I honestly... like, don't get me wrong, in this game, and we'll come to it, because it was worse in the second half. Like, Pirou was shit in this game. But I sort of felt a bit sorry for all the forward players, because we were that bad just as a team. I don't know how anything else was going to happen. It was just all wrong in all ways. Well, you're 2-0 down at halftime. You've been shy all over the pitch. If there was a day, whether it was the personnel or whether it was something else, if there was a day to change something at halftime, it was this.
The man who, as if Sky Sports knew, came up with the stat that he is the manager who leaves it latest in games to change to make changes in the championship.
Yeah. Which was a thing that, I mean, this isn't retroactive. We've said it about the games where it was going well. You can understand not making changes, but we were saying some of them were going so well that you'd make the changes and rest people. And he doesn't. I the way I phrased it on Twitter is the way I'll stick with. I like Farke. I'm not going to be like, you've seen a lot. And look, there's certain coaches in the world that if we could get them, I'd have them instead. But I don't want Farke sacked. We've got 90 points. We've had a great season. his in-game management is not good. Like, it just isn't. It's not where his strength is, and you just have to make peace with that, I think, at this point. But yeah, nothing changes. And in terms of the performance level, nothing changes. I think that Joseph comes on for Sam Byram in the 63rd minute. He has that one chance. But he couldn't get in the game either for the same reasons as everyone else. And then you're thinking, right, it's 2-0. You've got 25 minutes. And then you've got 20 minutes. Maybe if you get one now, you might be able to get something. And then corner, Lyndon Dykes, free header. Melier has very little time to react, but I still think he'll think he should have served that. It's straight at him. It nearly hits him in the bollocks as it goes with his legs. And that is properly game. Later on, Samfield, free kick from near the corner spot. Barely a header. Melier definitely should save this one. And that's four. Like, you look at the changes that we did eventually make. After the Joseph one, the next ones are Anthony for Somerville and Gelhart for Rutter, which I think was a sending a message sub, taking off who should be our two best creative players. But you know when you're making that in the 79th minute when you're already 3-0 down? Doesn't really mean anything. And then Shackleton for Nonto and Kamara for Gruev in 44th minute. No one comes out of these run of games looking better than Glenn Kamara.
Yeah.
The three bad results, Junior Firpo has been our best player in all three of them, and Kamara's looked better. Because if you're not there when the team plays shit, it makes you look good.
It's really hard to argue that, to be fair. Our midfield, our central midfield, was almost non-existent in that game at times. It's by far and away the worst game Gruev has had for us.
It's that or that Stoke one that was his first one.
I would put it down to this, because at least with the Stoke game, he was kind of coming out of the cold to play in that one. This, he has been playing week in, week out since about the middle of January now. I know he had that slight knock, but he was chasing shadows. Archie Gray is probably one of his worst performances as well.
Can you remember what he did? I remember he won a couple of decent balls high up in midfield. That's about it.
Yeah. And there was no sort of dynamism in that midfield at all. And you were just sort of like thinking, like, and I've said before, I've been a bit critical of sort of Kamara in the last month or so, but how it took that long for him to come on in this game is beyond me when our central midfield was functioning like it was.
Yeah. I think the midfield was the biggest problem. But there was a more obvious problem, which was, what did I say to you before the game? Who should play if Bamford isn't fit? And who will?
Mm.
Joel Pirou is a good footballer who doesn't particularly suit us. He suits us even less when he's leading the line. Ask the drunkest guy in your local pub who's a Leeds fan. They'll know that. But yeah, Daniel Farke just... And I understand him. If it's... Look, he's the big money guy. I want to show faith in him. If Bamford isn't fit, I sort of have to use him to show faith in him. Well, you're in a must-win game right at the end of the season. You do what will make the team function better. And what will make the team function better is a proper nine. And Joseph is much more of a proper nine than Pirou is.
Yeah. If you need to play both of them. And then you've got to sort it out.
Well, you've got to drop
three.
You've got to drop for that if you want to do that. Or play Georgie wide, which he seems very hesitant to do.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, Rutter has fantastic numbers of assists this season. But if you dropped him at the moment, I don't think you could sit there and go, well, that's unfair on him.
No, since the surgery in the international break, I mean, he is still my favourite player at Leeds I love watching him. I think he's fantastic. But since the international break, he's not been very good.
Yeah, like if you were going to do it, it would be very easy to justify doing it. Because he far clearly likes Peru playing this deeper role. Like, it clearly prefers it. But then you either put Georgie up front, who, one, doesn't have the finishing of a number nine, and two, yes, he presses, but I don't think he's maybe not as disciplined with it as Bamford.
Yeah, he's probably a better tackler. He's definitely a better tackler than Bamford, but he won't just consistently run that V in the way that we press, where it's go across, drop back in, someone else. That pattern, he won't stick to it.
Yeah, there's the enthusiasm for it, but and again, it comes back to that question of why break stride? Like, why are we, for such an important game, why are we adjusting the way we're going to play from the most successful the most successful we've been this season, playing with an out and out number nine, going back to playing with a deep lying forward and a 10 who don't really seem to operate well together?
Yeah,
and I don't know if that...
they've had exceptions like Millwall away, they were really good. They are exceptions to that, but yeah, you wouldn't say it's the best plan. I suppose the question is, we're talking about all these tactical things. Does that matter in that? Is it just the pressure getting to them and we'd be shit no matter what formation we're playing at the minute?
I think that's, yeah. I think there's still a lot to do with that because again, we said the midfield was the biggest problem. We just had so little control over the game. And yeah, you have your moments where, and I think I saw it summed up as that moment when QPR passed that free kick straight to Nonto, who promptly sprinted into Somerville. Neither one of them came away with the ball, and we gave it straight back to them. And you look back now going, yeah, of course we weren't going to win. That's what we were doing when we had the ball. The service into our forward players was so limited. We just never got a grip on the game at all. And QPR, I think QPR played well, but one, like you said earlier, it wasn't a 4-0 win of a performance. Yeah. But two, it's not like they had to work very hard to break us down.
No. Miles better than us, but not because they were outstanding. They were good. We were terrible.
and good is all they had to be. Like, that was it.
We've seen it. We haven't seen it much this season, but we have seen it in previous seasons where you're like, you didn't even make them beat you. You just sort of let it happen. And that's where we were.
That was the thing under Marsh, was that you didn't have to play especially well to beat us. You just had to wait for us to attack and then counter-attack us.
Yeah.
Because at some point there'd be loads of space.
Yeah, you could aggregate a crossfield ball or one over the top and there would be a shitload of room.
Yeah. You look at that first goal, and as Chair's running in, you've got your back fours sort of dropped to the edge of the penalty area. Gruev and Gray are nowhere near either the back four or the man in possession.
Yeah, Gruev ends up there, but quite late. Gray, genuinely can't remember where he is.
And like you say, and a lot of this, I think, is down to the fact that Nonto went. But once you've seen Nonto go, someone else has to react to that.
Yeah.
And it's, by the looks of things, it was Gruev who was on that side. So he probably needs to adjust to that quicker. But yeah, it's very tough to not look at this run of form we've been in and not think we're really struggling to cope with the pressure.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of people, I'm one of them really, because it's oversimplifying it, saying bottled it and stuff, but it's hard to look past that. Like, I'm not even sort of saying it as like a, oh, these players, they're fucking pathetic, but that's not what I'm saying. They're just struggling to handle the pressure. I think it's the drawback of having this really young team. You haven't got many that have been there, done that. I think that was one of the big reasons for bringing Conor Roberts in, and he's injured. You know, someone who did it last year. We're just not handling the pressure well. And the really annoying thing is, neither are Ipswich. But they've handled it, you know, a bit better than us. You know, but both teams have won two in the last six. They've got one more draw. Both teams are having a shit running, but ours is just marginally worse, and they've got that game. They did it again in this. They drew 3-3 at Hull, which I'm assuming was a really good game, and everyone says it was. I did not watch it. I was still too pissed off. Because if Ipswich won, it was over and I'd have been sad. If Ipswich didn't win, I'd be more pissed off at how shit our performance was. There was no upside to watching that game, so I just didn't watch it.
Frustratingly, with Ipswich as well, even when they don't score a late goal in the 90th minute, they got one in stoppage time at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating because I think if you look at our run of form post international break, if you lose the Coventry game and you get the results you probably should in the rest of the games, you're like, yeah, that's fine. Coventry are a team pushing for the playoffs. We had to lose a game at some point.
The games are the Sunderland and Blackburn games, especially Blackburn. I said if we don't beat Blackburn, we won't do this. And I'm standing back because I know that this is a massive oversimplification, but if you beat Blackburn in a game you absolutely should win, right now we have 93 points.
Yeah.
And it does not for a second mean it's done, but it means Ipswich, it puts it back in our hands.
It's two games against two teams who have not been playing well for a while. And not only did we only get 1 point from those two games, we hardly created any real chances.
Barely created any chances, didn't score the goal. Yeah, we got fucked over on a penalty decision against Sunderland. But we just didn't. You know, we sort of got that one back with the Nonto offside goal at Sunderland. At Sunderland? No, Middlesbrough. up there somewhere. Those were the two games because those were at home. And if you get your results there, you're fine. But because Ipswich drew at Hull, we're still second. But Ipswich now only need 4 points from Coventry away. And as these brief notes say, Ipswich at home, that'll be Huddersfield. We need a minute, because Coventry have got nothing to play for. And I think as much as we got screwed over in the FA Cup semi-final, the only game they've won in the last 7 or 8 was against us.
Yeah, I think it's lost 5 of their last 6, I believe.
Yeah.
Leads
that.
And then the hope being that Coventry get something from that game, and then freshly relegated Huddersfield, because they are not relegated, they need a 15-point swing a 15 goal swing on the last day.
Look, Coventry have to beat Ipswich. Huddersfield are not going to work their bollocks off already relegated to help Leeds United. They're already down. Huddersfield fans, and I mean this, will want to lose that game. They're already down. If they had someone on the line for them, then obviously they'd want to win. If they're down anyway, and them losing stops Leeds getting promoted, they'll take that as a win. They'll go through all of next season going, yeah, but we stopped Leeds going up, and that makes it worth it. You've met Huddersfield fans. That's what they'll say. Even if they don't mean it, that's what they'll say.
The freedom that comes from being relegated. That's what they shall play with. And they will play some liquid football to somehow beat Ipswich on the last day. And we will fuck it up against
And we will lose to Southampton, who will be playing their reserves.
You'd assume so, because that's the problem with Ipswich not winning, is that on the off chance that the results go our way, we have to play a decent team against Southampton. On the off chance that somehow...
Whereas if Ipswich had just beat Hull and then beat Cov, you'd go, right, well, we know where we are.
Yeah, you put the 21s in, give Charlie Crewe his game, make him captain. Joe Gellhart would still be on the bench.
There was a bit of me, genuinely. When Ipswich didn't win, as much as this is ridiculous, there was a little bit of my brain going, for fuck's sake, just put me out of my fucking misery, will you?
I'm sure there's quite a few, like, yes, we all want to finish second. But I think there is a decent amount of Leeds fans who were looking at that going, please, it just win. Just end it now.
Either lose or win. You're draw.
Shit or get off the pot, lads.
Yeah. So, they're away at Cov. Obviously, we're not going to do like a game preview for that. But we just need a Cov. Because if Cov win, it's in our hands. The ridiculous thing is, and I will not feel like this, if Cov were to win, Leeds are favourites. But
yeah.
Cov aren't going to win. It's not going to happen. It is impossible. I'm going to look right down the camera as I'm saying this. Coventry will not beat Ipswich. It is impossible that Coventry beat Ipswich. If Coventry beat Ipswich, then I don't even know what I'm going to do. If I was a different podcaster, I'm not going to do this because it's not my style. I'd be saying I'm going to get a tattoo. I'd be saying all of these things. It's just not me, unfortunately. But there was a bit of me going, should I say I'll get like play up Sky Blues on my foot or something? But I'm not going to. That's not me.
Andy Thorne's Sky Blue Army on your arm.
Yeah. Doesn't matter that he hasn't been manager for 10 years.
I assume the extent you are going to this is you're putting a fiver on Ipswich to win.
Oh, I already did.
Yeah, there you go.
I also put a 10 on them to win at Hull. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going out Tuesday night. I'm not watching it. I'm going out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have a few beers and attempt to not look at Twitter too much.
Yeah.
I
hate football. I don't know why we do a podcast. This was great in February, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a bit. There is one thing. At least I always had enough pessimism to never get above about 70% confident.
Not HMS pissed the league.
If it happens, and don't get me wrong, if we don't get in, we'll get beaten the semis because that's us. At least the playoff final's on a Sunday, so you won't have to work.
Woo. I think the
also in the event that happens, if anyone has a season ticket that like they've already booked a holiday and they're away for the day of the playoff final, if you feel like sending us a DM, because one of us is all right for that, but one of us isn't.
The thing that made me feel slightly better was, apropos of nothing, I got a text on Saturday night from Bradford City supporting friend of the podcast, Mark Young, whose Bradford side, out of absolutely nowhere, won 6 of their last 7 games and have missed out on the playoffs by 1 point to Crawley. Crawley, of whom beat them in like the 97th minute in their last meeting.
Well, that's a shame, because I would quite like Bradford to get promoted, but I am happy that Mark Young's sad.
Yeah, it was, I think he described it as like when we got relegated to League One and going, this is brilliant, if only we weren't also being relegated.
Yeah.
Like, right, there's a West Yorkshire team in League One and we're not good enough to get there.
Yeah, well... The good news was Garth of Town won their playoff semi-final on penalties. And Albion Sports beat Campion in the other semi-final, which was an upset. So Garth have a home final against Albion Sports, for which they are probably slight favourites. Unfortunately, it's on Saturday the 4th of May at 3 PM.
Straight from Allen Road.
It's a shame, because if that game was even at 4, I bet you'd get 400 extra people there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, come on, Garth. Let someone do it. Castellón are going to get promoted, though.
Yes.
They're like way clear at the top of there. So one of the teams will go up.
Castellón 2025 trip.
We don't do actual predictions for other games. Which sort of Ipswich win is it going to be? Are they going to just win easy to like, there we go? Or are they going to score like a 93rd minute winner just to really, really annoy you? Will they go 1-0 down? Moment of hope.
Yeah, you've got this all wrong. 1-0 Coventry, Liam Kitching header, 96-minute winner against Huddersfield on the last day of the season. we draw with Southampton.
Right.
If Ipswich were ever to round off a season and do something, it would be the most suitable way for them to do it this year.
Yeah. So we're in a bit of doom, but at least, I mean, I don't fancy us in the playoffs, of course I don't, but at least it's not over if we don't do it. That's the one thing. At least it's not over. And there's a big gap until the playoffs start.
Is it like a week and a bit?
Well, we would be third. So the first leg would be Sunday the 12th.
Okay, so it's a week and a day.
Yeah, you've got 8 days. And the second leg would be Thursday 16th at 8 PM. That's the home leg. And then you've got 10 days until the playoff final. So I don't think we're going to get there, but if we did, those 10 days are going to be an absolute nightmare.
Yep.
So, yeah, that will do us for episode 266, because we will be back to preview the Southampton game. There is no point doing it today, because how we feel about that game is entirely dependent on Tuesday night. It's just not worth getting into. I don't know how long a pod that will be, and I don't know when it's going to be, because our work schedules are a bit shit this week. But we will find 20 minutes, half an hour at some point. Even if it's KC.
Find a way.
Even if it's KC on his phone again. Yeah. Probably, I reckon your phone camera is probably at least as high quality as your laptop one, maybe higher.
Oh, it's far better.
Yeah. Mind you, it will be for mine as well. But yeah, that will do us. KC, give me a percentage hope that you have of Leeds still getting second.
7.
Cool. Well, mine's about 2.
Okay.
Mine's about 2. Which, if I was converting it to odds, means I think Ipswich's price is massive tomorrow night. But yeah, that'll do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been KC. Have a good one.
It's over.